Matthew chapter number 20, we'll read verses 1 through 7. For the kingdom of heaven, and kingdom of heaven is a unique phrase to Matthew's gospel. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the market, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And so I want to stop there, and I want to preach to you for a little bit. And I preached a similar message several years ago, but I want to preach to you on the 11th hour. The 11th hour. What went on the 11th hour? And so as we think about the, I guess I ought to give you the context of this before I go any farther. I want you to notice in Matthew 19 and verse number 16, we're talking about the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and wants to know what he needs to do to be saved. And Jesus deals with what was really the issue keeping him from being saved in his life. And it wasn't that he had to, many folks, or some folks, have been rich and have had Jesus, but not many. Abraham was one of them, we know that. But here is a rich young ruler that's come to Jesus. I believe Luke maybe or Mark calls him a ruler. A rich young ruler, and he's come to Jesus, wants to know what he has to do to be saved. And unlike the Philippian jailer, that they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, first, you've got to go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, the reason Jesus said that, it still was grace and faith in Jesus' day. He wasn't saying that. But he knew there was one thing that man would not give up to be saved. There was one thing that he would love more than Jesus. He would not yield, if I can say it this way, to the Lordship of Christ. And so Jesus knew where his love was. He knew where his heart was. And so Jesus told him, you're going to have to put that aside. I've got to be first. I've got to be number one. You're going to have to come to me forsaking all else, so to speak. And so when the young man heard that, verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so then Jesus comes down here, and he says this, in verse 24, to the disciples, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That shocked the disciples. The religious world was rich. The Pharisees were well-to-do. Why? For they'd make pretenses of long prayers, and they'd take widows' houses, catch them at a vulnerable time, and cheat them out of the house. And many of the Pharisees were wealthy men, and they were considered godly men by most folks. And so Jesus is saying how hard it was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And verse 25, when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? If that's the case, who can be saved? I mean, if a rich man can't be saved, what about a poor man? If a rich man can't be saved, what about an uneducated man or an educated man? Who then can be saved? We thought it's whosoever will. Who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them, said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, Peter's sitting there, and he's thinking about this. Rich men can't enter the kingdom of God, or how hard it is for rich men to enter the kingdom of God. And then notice what he said. Then answered Peter, verse 27, and said unto him, Behold, we forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? In other words, Peter's saying, if you can't have riches and be saved, and we give up everything, what are we going to get out of this deal? He's starting to think the wrong way. He's not serving God because he loves him at this point. He's not thinking like that, but he's thinking, hey, I give everything. Now what do I get back? What's the advantage of it? If hardly a rich man can, he probably thought he's going to get riches one of these days. God's going to bless him materially. And so the Lord kind of senses Peter's getting a wrong attitude. I won't say a bad attitude, but he's getting a wrong attitude about this thing of serving the Lord. He's wanting to know what kind of earthly monetary benefits he's going to get out of that. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, verse 28, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, that tells you when the regeneration's going to be. That's the millennial kingdom. He's going to sit on the throne of his glory. You'll see that word in Acts. Is it Acts chapter 2, 3, or 4? Talks about the regeneration. Well, right there, that gives you an idea of what that is. When the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. So here's what he says to Peter, you're going to get more than you sacrifice. I will, Brother Blue says it this way, God will be a debtor to no man. I want to say if God struck us all dead today, he still wouldn't be a debtor to us. Has he not been good to every one of us? My, he's been so good to me. I've been so unfaithful to him down through the years in different areas of my life. I want to say he's never been unfaithful to me. He's been so good. And so in the context, he's helping Peter. He's saying, here's what you're going to get. Here's some things you want to know. Here's some things. But then in verse 30, he said, But many that are first, the Jewish crowd was first, shall be last. And the last, the Gentile crowd, shall be first. Some folks think that he's saying in verse 40, but many that the many that are first are those who think they're first. The Pharisees. Maybe even Peter, who thinks he's forsaken all. He did forsake all, as far as I'm concerned. But maybe he didn't do as much as he thought he did. But the Lord, after he told him, you're going to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes, and whatever you've given up, you're going to receive 100-fold, shall inherit everlasting life. But he said this, you better be careful, because there's many that think they're first that's going to be last, and there's many that may think the last that might be first. Now that might be one way to look at it. I tend to think he's talking about Israel and Gentiles. Now, you can take it either way you want. It has the same meaning, same truth to it. But here's the thing. It may appear some are first, but they're going to end up last. And so, you just keep that in mind. And then he gives us the text. And he talks about a man who hired some laborers. I think we're still dealing with Peter's question, what are we getting? And the whole purpose in context of this is to show that you don't negotiate with God. If you will notice, there was two kinds of workers. There was workers in verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, they struck a deal. One penny for one day's labor. One penny for a day's labor. That was the deal. But when he comes on down to the next crowd, he says in verse 4, And go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. In other words, they wanted to know, hey, what am I getting out of the deal? He said, I'll deal with you for a penny. They said, we'll take that deal. We'll work for a penny for a day. But then he comes down to these other workers, and he just says to them, I'll treat you right. You just trust me and I'll treat you right. And I think that's what he was trying to tell Peter in the context of this passage. I believe that's the truth that we get. It's not we serve God for what we can get, but we serve God because we love Him and we want to and we know that He's going to do right by us. That's just how it is. And that's the right way to do it. And so sometimes we get a little sideways maybe on our thinking. But what I want to talk to you about for a little while, I want to preach to you practically. I just want to take this little text and try to draw out just a few little truths that might help you as we think about this 11th hour. Now the 11th hour, they had their time from 6 to 6, from 6 to 6, and then from 6 of the evening to 6 the next morning. That was the way they broke down time. So the 11th hour would be around 5 o'clock in the evening. In the evening. And so that's where we're at. We're at 5 o'clock in the evening. They've been working. Some of them have been working since 6 that morning. The third hour would be 9 o'clock. Some of them had been working since 9 o'clock. The sixth hour would be 12 o'clock. Some of them had been working from noontime till 5. Some had been working maybe on the ninth hour from 3 o'clock on to 5. But now he's at the fifth hour. And so what do we see going on in the 11th hour? What is the 11th hour? We can stop and think about that. Can I say figuratively speaking, in typology, symbolically, however you want to look, however I need to say it to you, the 11th hour speaks of the closing out time. The end time. Where it's not over, but it's just about over. I think some people are in the 11th hour of their life. They're just about to wrap up life. They've come to the end. And we can think of the 11th hour like that as we work through what we're doing. But primarily, I want us to think as the 11th hour, as just the last closing 60 minutes or whatever the span would be before the Lord comes back. That's how I want us to think about it. And so here's the thing I think the devil says to us sometimes. You're too old to do anything. You're too old to do anything. I think sometimes the devil says this thing's too far gone. There's no use to try anymore. You might as well just try to hold on tight, buckle your seatbelt and enjoy the ride because the momentum's so strong, there's nothing we can do. I believe that's the attitude of some of God's people. I just think that's how it is. And so I want us to think about the 11th hour in view of this text and see if that's so. There may be some here. We're going to see some folks, and I'm preaching my message before I get there, but I'll just preach it again to you when I get there, and you can hear it twice. There's some folks he sent out to work who never had worked before. I mean, they hadn't worked any that whole day. They'd been 12 hours of work. They had no history of a work during that day. But the householder said this, you can go ahead and go into the field and work if you want to. And so there may be some here and you say, well, I've never done anything for the Lord. And now we're down the last days and there's nothing I can do. Does that line up with the Scripture? Is that a godly attitude? Do we need to buckle our seatbelt and just try to tough it out till the Lord comes back? What's going on the 11th hour? That's what I want us to look at. I want us to take our text and just kind of think on it for a little bit. As we look at this, in the 11th hour, be sure of this, there are some that's working in the field. There's some that are at work. You might say this, you might be like, oh, was it Elijah that said, hey, I'm the only one left? And the Lord said there's 7,000 that hasn't bowed their knee to Baal. And sometimes the devil makes you think like that. Like you're the only one trying to serve God. Maybe he's doing that with some of these. I don't know. Maybe that's why they didn't go. Because maybe they felt like no use to go. Nobody else cares. Why should I? I want to say as we come to the 11th hour, there's some that's in the field. There's some that's been in the field. There's some that's worked from morning to night. And they're still working. working. I want you to know everybody hadn't quit on God. Everybody hadn't laid the sword down. Everybody's not stopped and crawled in a hole. There's some in the harvest still working for the Master today. My, that ought to encourage you to work. They're working. We can work, can't we? Well, the first thing I want you to see is from the text, and you can see that some went out the first hour, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour. The field had workers in it. But they was, I want you to notice too, the householders still in need of laborers. It's the 11th hour. He's still looking for laborers. He still needs somebody to go work. You might say, hey, everybody's working. Everybody's working and everything's going good and there's no need of me doing anything. Can I tell you, that's a false thought in your mind. That's just not right in your mind. If I can find it, Matthew chapter 9, just hold your place. We're going to flip right back to that text in Matthew chapter 9. Here's what it says in verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. But here's what the Bible says, but the laborers are few. Now here's what we say, there are laborers in the field. Make no mistake about that. But in proportion to the harvest, in proportion to the workload, in the proportion to what needs to be done, the laborers are few. The householder still needed laborers the 11th hour. He obtained laborers of the morning on the third, on the ninth hour, at 9 o'clock, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour. We come to the 11th hour. He still needs somebody to work for him. I want to say to you, we may be in the 11th hour, but the Lord still needs somebody to carry out the work. He doesn't have enough laborers. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And the Lord said this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest. His harvest. It's not your harvest as a worker, it's His harvest. And so one thing I want you to understand from this text, that in the 11th hour, there's still a need of labor. I just want you to understand that. Their need is there. You may not be willing to go. You may not want to go. You may say no to the Lord. But the need for laborers is still there. There's a need right now. We need laborers in the Lord's Word. And so, the house, we see there's laborers in the field. But the householders in need of laborers. And He needed laborers. Why? Because the work was incomplete. Now I want you to understand this. We may be in the 11th hour. We may be in the closing out of this thing. And folks, I know you don't believe that. Most of you don't. If you did, we'd be living different. And I don't even know if I believe it like I ought to. But I know this. I don't see how the Lord can put up with much more. I just don't see how He can do it. I'm really getting in my heart that the Lord is soon coming. And my, the work is undone. It's incomplete. You need to understand that. There's still a harvest. There's still a need for laborers. And so the Lord, He's still looking. You see, He plans to work not to the 11th hour, but He plans to work till we close this thing out. He plans to work till He plans to carry out His work until He comes back. Oh, you say, well, it might be another 40 years before He comes back. Then He plans on working and carrying out His work for another 40 years. That's how it is. He's not told us anywhere to buckle our seatbelt, fasten down, get ready, and just sit back and prepare for the ride. Oh no, that's not what He said. That's not what He's saying here. Here's what He's saying. There's still a work in the 11th hour. There's a shortage of laborers. I'm still looking for laborers. And friend, if you want to labor for the Lord, can I say, there's something for you to do out there. You're sitting on the bench, it's your fault, not the Lord's fault. You just sit there and mull on that a little bit. And so as we look at this 11th hour, we see there's no quitting early. John chapter 9, verse 4, he said, I have to work while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, whatsoever thy heart findeth to do, do it with thy might. All your might. And on we could go through the Scriptures. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. You all have heard me preach on that word press before. That's that last burst of speed at the finish line. I mean, when the runner, you think about a distance runner, and he's run the marathon, and he comes down to the end, and he gets to the end, he says, well, I'm just going to quit and just coast in. I'm just going to quit. No, what he does, he gives it everything he's got as he comes down to the end. He works and he labors to the very end. That's what God wants out of our lives. And that's what God wants in this 11th hour that we're living in today. And so we see the householder. He there are laborers in the field, but he needed more laborers. And the reason he needed laborers because the work was incomplete. And he complained to work until the day was completed. And then I want to say this, he needed laborers so bad that he went out seeking them. He went out seeking them. He was active. He actively pursued laborers for his work. And I want to say today, and I don't understand why there's not more announcing the call to preach, why there's not more going to the mission field, why there's not more wanting to do for God, but I'm saying he's still seeking laborers. He's still seeking workers. He's still seeking those who will put him first and carry out his work and focus on what he wants done and what he wants accomplished here on planet Earth. Apparently, the harvest was extremely important to him. Because as he come down to the end, he didn't just say, well, we'll just take what we've got, wrap it up, and let the 11th hour be whatever it is. Oh no, he's wanting the 11th hour to count more than all the other hours. He's seeking laborers. He's wanting some more folks to go to the harvest field and carry out the work. Oh, I believe that's where the Lord's at today. He's wanting more and more laborers. He's needing them for the harvest. It's precious to him. You know the value of a soul. You know what the Bible says about the value of a soul. Oh, I'm saying to you today, it's not a time to quit. It's not a time to coast. It's not a time to say there's no use. It's not a time to say I've not done anything in the past and I can't do anything in the future. Oh, I'm saying to you, it's a time to hear the voice of God and go to the harvest field for him. I'm saying to you, that's the 11th hour. That's what we see in this 11th hour. The householder, he went out and he's searching, actively pursuing laborers. And you think that's so... Here's what you might say. That's crazy. It's just one more hour. He doesn't care. He just wants to get all the harvest he can get. That's what he's after, just the harvest here. And so he went out moving and searching for laborers, actively pursuing the laborers. And I want you to notice this. I kept saying a word that he's looking for. I kept saying he's looking for laborers. The Bible never says he was looking for skilled craftsmen. It never says that. Do you ever think about that? And I could take you over to 1 Corinthians 1 and show you how he uses little things and base things. He wasn't looking for intellectual folk. He wasn't looking for someone with great skill and great ability and maybe persuasive powers over men. Oh no, you know what he was looking for? Just laborers, Brother Allen. Hey, that's something we all can do is labor. I mean, we can all, all of us that have healthy enough bodies, we can all labor for the Lord. We can all do a little work. We can all be involved in that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or some kind of highly educated person. The Lord uses, let me just turn over there. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, if I'm my memory serves me correctly anyway. In verse number 26 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But I want you to notice who God does use. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Why does He use? Why is it the Lord would use foolish things? Why is it the Lord would use weak things? Why is it the Lord would use base things and things that are despised and things that are not? Well, we have the answer in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You know why He uses nobodies like me and you? So we won't strut around. Because He uses people that doesn't have ability so He can get the glory for it. Isn't that amazing? That's how the Lord works. He uses nobodies. He uses base things and foolish things. Oh my, He's not left us out. He just wants you to be willing to work. He just wants a laborer. He'll take care of the rest of it. He'll help you with that. He just wants, here in this 11th hour, He doesn't want you to sit down. He doesn't want you to say, well, I've wasted 30 years and 20 years and 40 years and 50 years. He wants you to say, hey, I'll go. I'll labor. I'll do what you want me. I'll try to do what you want me to do. Oh, my. This stirs me up when I think about it. We just kind of think this thing's over. But the 11th hour, He wanted more people working the 11th hour than He did the whole day. He was interested. So He wasn't looking for skilled craftsmen, but just laborers. And I might even say this, not just laborers, but willing laborers. He just wants some willing laborers. That's all He wanted, somebody willing to go work. That's all He wanted. By the way, He didn't twist no arms and make them go. He didn't do that. He just gave them an opportunity to go if they wanted to. And I want to say this, God's not going to make you serve Him. You can do whatever you want. It's your decision. You can waste your life on the world. You can spend your life playing. You can spend your life trying to get another dollar. You can spend your life on any endeavor and any goal and anything you want. But the Lord's looking for some folks willing to work and concerned and willing to go into His harvest field and do what He wants them to do. You say, when was that He wanted that? The 11th hour. The 11th hour, toward the end of the day, and knowing they don't have a lot of time to get done what needs doing, but He still wants them to go and do what they ought to do, what they can't do, I should say. So not just laborers, but willing laborers. But then, you would think, when we look at this 11th hour, I started out just looking at the characteristics of the 11th hour. There were some working. But you would think people at the 11th hour, knowing that the harvest was still out there unharvested, would be trying to do something. But you know what the householder found? There's some that were idle. They wasn't doing anything. The harvest was going to rot in the ground if they didn't get it gathered in. But there's some just sitting there idle. They're just sitting there idle. Wasn't doing anything. You would think... My, you would think that they'd just be so busy trying to do something. You think instead of the householder coming to them, they'd have went to the householder and said, hey, would you like for me to help you get the crop in? But no, that wasn't how it was. They just sitting around idle. I guess they were unaware of the harvest being what it was. Unaware that there were lost souls out there. I just want to ask you this. Do you think there's countries that's never heard the gospel? Do you just think that? Some folks don't think that. But I'm sure there's places that's never had the gospel preached. Surely God loves them enough to call somebody to go. Why ain't they went? Why haven't they gone? surely across this great planet, the way He loves souls, and those folks, some of them not even having the Bible, surely He's called somebody to go. And I know nobody feels led to go, and I don't understand that. But surely He's made Himself real, and He's called somebody. You say, well, it's the end of time. We're in the last days. I don't care if it is the 11th hour. He's still calling. He still wants men and women to go and get involved in the Word. And so we see in the 11th hour, we see an active Savior, active householder type of the Lord. And we see some working, but we see some doing nothing. Knowing it's the 11th hour. Surely they gauged time by the sun back then. Surely they could look at the sun. They surely had to say, mine, just not long, the day will be gone. And we've not done anything. And the householder had to come to them instead of them going to him. I don't understand it. And so there was indeed idleness at this time. And then he asked them this, why have you been idle all day long? And here's what they said, if I can find the verse. Verse 7, they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. Now that may be a valid reason, I don't know. This story doesn't really tell us, but I'm thinking if the harvest is as important as it was, and the householder went out at the third, the sixth, and the ninth hour, and went out of the morning, and he's went out the 11th hour and found them, I guess, where he's went every time. I don't know. It says the marketplace. I'm guessing had they been where they need to be, they could have went to work much earlier. I wonder if maybe the reason no man hired them because they wasn't in the marketplace to be hired. They maybe were doing something else. That's just speculation. This is just a parable to start with. I'm just trying to get a few little truths across to you out of it. And so they made some reasons and excuses for their idleness. And my, you might can make reasons and excuses for your idleness. I want to tell you this, the householder, the Lord, our Savior and our Lord, He wants you busy in His harvest. He wants you busy. You may make excuses. You may even have a halfway valid reason, far as I'm concerned. But my, here's what the Savior's desire is, that you're in the 11th hour, you're laboring in His harvest field. That's His desire. And so we'll see in the 11th hour, even though it's critical time, I mean the harvest, if it doesn't get in, it's over. And we'll see folks who are idle, and they justify their idleness. And I want to say there's no justification for idleness in the work of the Lord. Now I'm not talking about if you're sick and can't. I'm talking about if you're able and you're just not doing. And so there was reasons and excuses. There was idleness. There was reasons given or excuses, whichever way you look at it. There's an active Savior. There's a harvest that's unharvested. There's workers that are trying to harvest as much as they can. And so there's a concerned householder for the need. And he's come to these folks who are idle. And he said, hey, you're idle. Why is that? Don't you understand? 11th hour. We're in a critical time. And they said, no man's hired us. And here's what he said after they said that. Let me see if I can find it. Verse 7, he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Now here's what I would have said. You're too lazy to work. You wouldn't work from 6 to 5. I don't want you working for me from 5 to 6. I just assume you've wasted the biggest part of the day. You just go on to the house and forget about it, but not the householder. The householder did not hold their past against them. Can I say it that way? He did not hold their past against them. They hadn't done very well in the past. In other words, they was a failure in the past. They were not busy at the work of the Lord. Excuse me. They come down to the end. They come down to the end of the day. And now they're willing to go. Had it been me, I would have held their past against them. I would have said, hey, you proved from your past you're lazy, you're not going. I don't want lazy people, not the householder. The harvest is too important. He did not hold their past against them, and he said to them, you go on and work. You've not done anything here today, but from now on you get out there in the field and you work till the day's done, and you get the harvest you can get, and I'll settle up with you when this thing's over. That's what he's saying. And so, here's what I'm saying. We see all these things going on in the 11th hour. Where you and I would have just cut out early. We just went to the house early. Well, I couldn't find work today, and so I'm just going home. Or had we been there and he had come up, we might have said, why, it's too late to start now. It's too late to get in the harvest now. I mean, we've wasted 11 hours, and you want us to go to the harvest field for 1 hour? But the householder did. And I want to say this, you may have wasted your life and you may just have an hour of service left, but Jesus wants you to serve Him for that hour. He won't hold your past against you. You repent. You become willing to go. You surrender. He'll put you to work. That's how it is. He won't twist your arm. He won't force you. He won't make you. He's not going to bring lightning bolts down, give you supernatural experience, but He wants you working in the harvest field. That's just how it is. There's not enough workers in the 11th hour. The harvest is still to be harvested in the 11th hour. The householder still cares in the 11th hour about the harvest. The harvest is souls lost and on the way to hell. Jesus still cares about sinners. Sure, it's the 11th hour. But He still cares. And He's hunting laborers. Would you go? Would you labor for Him? Would you go to His... I'm not talking about going across the waters. Maybe that's what He wants. I'm talking about, would you go down the street? Would you go downtown? Would you go to the Walmart and hand out a few tracts while you're down there? Would you try to sow a few seed? Maybe somebody's already been down there and sowed some seed. Maybe you can harvest somewhere along the way. You see, we're in the 11th hour, but there's still a work to do. That's all I'm trying to say to you tonight. There's still work to do. The Lord's still looking for laborers. Sure, there's some laboring. There's some in this thing with both feet. I mean, they've just got in the work of the Lord and they're in it. There's some in this church that's in the work of the Lord. They're in the Word. In fact, they've got more to do than they can do because there's some that won't do. And I'm not belittling you. Maybe you can't. Maybe you've gotten so entangled in the world you can't. I don't know. It's not. I don't even care. All I care about is if God's dealing with you, that you say, yes, I may have wasted my life. He's using a wasted life, if I could say it that way. He's using somebody that has no track record, unproven. Has nothing to say, hey, here's my credential. Look what a harvest I harvested down at the other farm. No, all they've done is been idle. But here's what he said, I want you to go. I want you to go. You willing to serve the Lord however He wants you, wherever at in the harvest field. And I think it's still tied to Peter because he says here at the end, let me see if I can find it. Verse 8, so when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. I believe what he's saying to old Peter was this. Now listen, don't negotiate with me about serving me. But I believe he's saying this, when the day's done, I'll settle the score. You'll get your payday, but the day's going to be done before you get it. Can I tell you, the payday for the child of God is down the road. It's not here now. We're still in the harvest field. We're supposed to still be late. Our payday's down the road. Here's what I'm asking. You willing to work for Him for a future payday, a spiritual payday down the road? Are you willing to? All He wants is labors. Say, preacher, I don't have this skill. I don't have this ability. I can't talk to people. Oh, Moses said that. You remember what Moses said? Was the phrase something like this? I'm slow of tongue. You know what God said to him? Who made you tongue? I'm the one that made you tongue, wasn't I? He made you who you are. You are who you are because God made you that way. And here's what he's saying. I want you to go to my field and work for me. I don't care that you have great skill. I just want you to be willing to work. The 11th hour, just about over. That's where we're at today. Not a doubt in my mind, some of you old heads that's here, here's what you would say. We're in the last days. We're in the last days. And we are. But I want to tell you, they still work to do the 11th hour to the 12th hour to the day's end. Still work to do. Would you be willing to serve Him? Would you say this, preacher? I'll give my life to serve Him. I'll put Him first. He has number. I know I have to work a job. I know I have to take care of my family. I'm gonna put the Lord first. I'm gonna serve Him. Would you commit tonight? You might have said this. I committed a long time ago. Well, sometimes we need to recommit. Isn't that right? Doesn't sometimes we commit to the Lord and then that commitment kind of gets weak and weak, and as time goes on it gets real dim and real foggy, and we're not as committed as we was. And what we have to do is repent and commit again. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe that's why God put this on me. I got up with this little thought on my mind this morning. I just got up with it. I've not studied this all week. I just got it this morning. God just kind of nudging my heart. I knew I was going to preach on the ark this morning. I got up in this little passage. There's a harvest that's dying and going to hell because there's not enough laborers. Would you volunteer? Would you volunteer? He's hunting, looking for laborers today. Let's bow our heads. Sister Jordan, if you'd just come to the piano, maybe God spoke to your heart. I don't know. I don't know anything. I just know folks are dying going to hell and there's not enough laborers. There's not enough laborers. Oh, God, help us.